Thank you. This is Senator Joe Jorgensen speaking from Anchorage. I'd like to ask what senators are in the teleconference room, specifically if Senator Moss is present.
Senator Josephson, at this time, we have no other members of the committee present. We have members of your staff and that possibly some observers, and that's all we have at this time.
We have people at various stations around to testify, and I'll begin in that case with John Garvin. John, are you here as a witness today in Anchorage? Okay. John, if you would go to the bench where the microphone is and depress the black bar as you speak, you can take your testimony. And please identify yourself for the record.
My name is John Garvin. I'm director of Alaska Children's Services and have a master's degree in social work and public health. I'm here to address some concerns that I have concerning Senate Bill 334. First, want to say that we very much are in need of a planning mechanism here in the state of Alaska that this particular bill addresses. The main point of my concern today is to have the definition of health expanded, and in the definition sections as well as throughout this bill, to include a much broader range of human services, which would include not only mental health, but a variety of social services. The main issue then that I'm wanting to address is that this bill be expanded to incorporate a broad range of human services and not be limited to areas of health as historically has been defined. There are some concerns that I would address in relation to certain aspects of the bill and things that have happened previously in Alaska that other people were directly related to other such health planning groups might want to address in great detail. Specifically, on page one, I have a concern that the commissioner be the one to designate three or more health service areas in the state. And the question that I would have is in relation to the four or more, seeing that it could become quite a large number depending on the particular service area that may choose to be designated as a health service area. And would be concerned about the fiscal impact of this bill if it were to include a large number of areas throughout the state, and that the very weight of that cost might in some way jeopardize the potential for planning that the bill presents. I would identify a second concern on page two and line number four, that a contract under this section be for a period of 4 years and is renewable. And my concern is that everyone understand, as I'm sure they would, that available resources in Alaska are only on a year-to-year basis, pending the appropriation of funds by the legislature. Though the idea of having a contract for as long a period as 4 years is certainly desirable in order that a planning agency might indeed be able to do some of its own planning for the work that it is designated to do. On page three, line 24, subparagraph two, I would have a concern that the annual report to the legislature, the commissioner, the residents of the state include specific recommendations and perhaps even some plans for their implementation. to generally speak in favor of the bill, and that the bill be expanded in its concept and definition to include a variety of human service, human services. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Dr. Garvin. And do any of my colleagues in Juneau, if any there be, have any questions of Dr. Garvin? Not. Thank you for coming down, John. I understand that Dr. Roland in Haines is on the line and has a time constraint. If that's correct, Doctor, please proceed with your testimony.
Hello, I'm Sarah. I'm Nina Dahl.
Good afternoon.
I belong to the, I'm also a board member of the NARA, which is the Northern Alaska Health Resources Association, based at Fairbanks. And this association has members from the North Slope, Fairbanks, and the Nana region. I am very much aware that NARA has no state funding this year. In FY 1983, NARA and the other two HSAs each received $50,000 from the state. Before that, since 1976, each HSA has gotten $100,000 annually. 2 years ago, federal funding for HSAs was cut by 67%. However, NARA cannot survive on their $100,000 federal allotment. It is absolutely essential that the state of Alaska support health planning and resource development. Dr. Smith, Commissioner of the Department of Health and Social Services, has expressed very strong support for health and social service planning statewide, but he sees HSAs as a mechanism for their planning. Dr. Smith, this can also tell you that the state alone is not able to fill the gap caused by elimination of HSA funding. It is the HSAs who have always done the planning for the state. Now there is almost nothing being done at the state level. In our health, we are able to direct our funds and personnel most effectively for helping our people. The planning assistance that NARA has given us allows us to actually save program dollars and stretch them to serve more of our people. Our services out of our own program money this past year has been saved because they are so important to our operations. If NARA were funded by the state directly, we would not have to spend any of our program dollars. We need them. The other regions of the state need them too. They are especially helpful to our native people who often do not have other means of addressing local concerns and presenting them to the state funding sources effectively. By funding NARA and the other two HSAs, you can actually save state dollars. I am asking you for support in using your power and influence in Juneau to help our people and all the people of Alaska in this way. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much for that testimony, Nana Dahl and Kotzebue. Are there any other witnesses there, Kotzebue?
No, sir. That's all we have.
I believe there may be a witness in St. Paul. Is that correct?
This is Harry in St. Paul. My party, Irene Chutin, just wants to observe right now. She's not sure if she wants to participate yet or not.
And please indicate if Ochutin desires to testify. I'll go then to Ketchikan and to DJ Pinerich of the Southeast Alaska Health System Agency.
Hi, this is DJ Pulick.
Yes, please feel free to give your testimony now if you'd like.
Okay, what I'd like to do is give a brief idea of where we as an agency are currently. I've been with the CSHOP for just over 3 years. When I came on board, we had, I believe it was 6 professional staff at that time. And one of the activities that we were engaging in was providing regional data for the statewide data appendix, which to date is the only existing compendium of health and social service statistics. And it was completed because we had 3 regional resource agencies and state staff.
This is the moderator in Anchorage. We did lose anything you were saying in the last 30 seconds.
My button wasn't totally depressed. Hello?
Yes, we heard you up until the word staff.
Okay. Currently we're getting questions regularly from groups as diverse as rural health councils who are trying to set up programs, consultants for the Mount Edgecombe Hospital that the Regional Native Corporation is in the process of assuming administrative responsibility for, and certificate of need applicants. Some of the data is already dated, and some of it is too general to use on a specific community or project level and needs to be updated and detailed. This will not happen unless regional resource organizations are back up to full speed. Who will provide routine technical assistance to hospital administrators, program directors, and especially community groups to guide them in their planning decisions? It will be very difficult to assess the merits of health and social service ventures, whether as a legislator or as a state categorical program staff, in the absence of such data and information. There are a number of other programs that have been drastically cut back. I'll briefly mention two. The first is community planning. Community planning and analysis of health and social service issues on a regional or sub-regional basis is not a traditional role for the state to assume, and it's practically impossible to perform this at a desk in Juneau. We are currently turning down requests for community planning assistance because there is no staff or funds. And the second one is the review function, which is a fairly good way of keeping on top of programs and services in the individual communities, where we were once able to provide a fairly thorough review of all mental health, alcohol, and domestic violence proposals. We are now only able to address a couple of those. And as we all know, those who write the best proposals are not necessarily those with the best and the most cost-efficient programs. My question is, how will competing applications be assessed without the continued regional input? In sum, it seems that this legislation is intended to salvage a system that has worked in the past and has a 9-year history of operating in the state of Alaska, and to do this before we have to set up a new system from scratch and perhaps without the financial support we're currently receiving from the federal government. That's all. Thank you.
Thank you very much, DJ, for that very helpful statement. I'll go now to Juneau. Is Becky Bear there?
Yes, I am. My name is Becky Bear. I am a member of the board of the Southeast Alaska Health Systems Agency. I am one of the consumers on the board. I represent a large community. Our board is about half divided between providers and consumers. I make that statement because I want you to understand that I don't come here with a vested interest. I joined the HSA board because of becoming incredibly impressed with the kinds of work they were able to do. I originally started off with a community group that had a community concern. At that point, the question was about alternative birthing facilities in Alaska, especially in Juneau, because of some cuts that DHSS was doing in existing programs. We were a group of concerned citizens. None of us were healthcare professionals, and we had absolutely no idea of how to wend our way through what needed to be done within the state to put up a viable program. It was only through the technical assistance that we were able to get through the HSA that we were able to put together a demonstration project which went for 2 years here in Juneau. In the course of doing that, I spent a lot of time attending HSA meetings and became very much aware of the other functions that the HSA performs. And I became very convinced that the planning function, especially HSAs, was desperately needed. I don't need to tell you that we have a very large and diverse state and that our healthcare services are, by down south standards, inadequate. And that as we face declining revenue, but the need for our citizens and the desire of our citizens to have good healthcare services, i.e. what happens down south, there's going to be an increasing competition for those dollars. As DJ has pointed out, we're going to pretty soon get into the duel of the grant writers. And again, as she pointed out, it's not necessarily the person who writes the best program, the best grant, who can deliver the best program. And that brings us to the issue of technical assistance and review. One of the best examples I can give you about the need for ongoing technical assistance and review is that which happened to the Vietnam vets here in Juneau, who also were a group of lay people who had a concern about post-traumatic stress syndrome and the effect it was having upon their people. They went into a program not being professional planners in the sense that they weren't, you know, the professionals who had all the training there, and they found themselves in some difficulty in the way the state wanted them to report money and in the kinds of monetary things that they could use, whether it was legal or illegal, in the narrow definitions of a state grant. My strong feeling was if technical assistance had been available to them throughout the grant and a review function throughout the grant, instead of being a matter of their funds getting cut off because they had behaved improperly 2 years before, they could have received assistance so they could have gotten on staff and continued their program. This was the kind of concern that I heard expressed at the health and social service regional meetings that the governor's office conducted. Consistently, the people who were coming there were asking for planning functions and review functions during the course of their grant. Now, these were functions that they were looking for not from the Department of Health and Social Services, because it's very tricky when you're getting a critique from the Department of Health and Social Services. Does this mean this is an idea that you should try, or does this mean this is a have-to that you better do in order for us to evaluate your program accurately? By having a group in there who is familiar with the rules and the kinds of things needed for a quality program, who do not have a direct investment in the grant per se, groups can be assisted who have very good ideas and have specific needs to fill, to fulfill those needs without becoming an adversarial type of position. I think this was also emphasized by the fact that, lost my thought on that one. I think that pretty much sums up the kinds of ideas that I want to get across to you. I think that it's absolutely imperative, as we face declining dollars and the need to serve the citizens of our state, that comprehensive health planning occur. And as DJ has pointed out to you, the HSAs have a 9-year track record in this area, and it would be, I believe, as a private citizen, not very wise to disassemble that mechanism at a point when we have to be careful of our money. You can't just do as we've done in previous years of funding everything that looks good that comes along. It would be very unwise to disassemble that system now, and then 2 or 3 years down the line have to reassemble a system from scratch. That concludes my testimony.
Thank you very much, Ms. Baer. In Fairbanks, I think we have Ricky Sipes standing by.
Please.
I'll go back to Fairbanks and ask if Senator Stringer is.
Yes, Senator Josephson, I'm here. I'm speaking today for myself as a longtime resident of the Fairbanks area who is in favor of continuation of the mechanism of health data compilation and health program coordination and planning provided by the health system agencies. I'm in favor of Senate Bill 334 as legislation that would extend the lives of the HSAs, particularly at this time where we're looking at a possibility of perhaps killing off the health system agencies, their data collection and coordination, and then perhaps 2 or 3 years down the road having to reinstitute similar mechanisms. I feel Senate Bill 334 would help prevent this, and I do urge its passage on the committee and on the legislature. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Ms. Stringer. I've known of your work in local government. Appreciate you coming.
Thank you.
Can Robert Bixby on hand from Juneau, please?
Yes, I am. This is Margaret Bixby in Juneau, speaking in support of Senate Bill 334. I am a 40-year resident of Alaska and have been involved in health planning since 1971. That's back to the old health planning law. And
Excuse me, we're having a hard time hearing you.
I am presently serving as Vice President of the Southeast Alaska Health Systems Agency. I only have 2 points. About this legislation, it seems to me that the money that would be saved in the elimination, or at any rate the alleviation of the duplication of services, should help pay for the cost of the operation of this bill. And my second point, and perhaps it should have been my first, is that this is the only place that consumers have a share in health planning for themselves. Thank you.
Thank you very much for your appearance. Incidentally, I noticed, I think, in the fiscal note, maybe someone can explain this to me, that the fiscal note is not a $600,000 fiscal note from the department, but a $450,000 fiscal note. And some of our backup material talks about an appropriation of at least $200,000 for each of these three agencies. So if someone wants to address that or explain to me where the difference lies, that would be helpful.
In Juneau, we do have someone I'd like to address that point, Senator.
Would you ask that person to identify himself or herself?
This is Dan Middleton, Senator. I'm the Director of the Division of Planning, Policy, and Program Evaluation for the Department of Health and Social Services. With regard to the fiscal note which the Commissioner has endorsed, calls for a $450,000 appropriation. I'm at a loss to report what the information is that you have at hand.
Dan, some of the material that I have, just a moment, indicates that health resource organizations have requested a funding level of $200,000 for each agency. But were you aware of that, Mr. Middleton, or is it a question of the department deciding that those requests had to be pared back for some reason, or?
Moderator in Juneau, I believe we have an open microphone on the network.
We have an open microphone. I don't know who's talking.
Senator Dan Middleton here.
Go ahead, Dan.
I think that there was a question that was posed to somebody within your room, and we couldn't hear what that question is.
Now, there were some comments from some other station. I don't know who was talking or whether it was a statement or a comment or a question. But I just need some clarification as to, I guess, whether the department was cognizant that some of the proponents had asked for $200,000 per agency, or whether the department wasn't aware of that, or if it was, decided that requests had to be reduced to about $150,000 per agency. That, I think, is the difference.
Senator, the department's position is that the $200,000 was identified. The detail relative to support for that is not. What is proposed is that there be a $450,000 providing $150,000 to be awarded to each health systems agency to support the accomplishments of the duties referenced in the bill in Section 1807.120, identified as duties. The projection of future fiscal year cost has been maintained at $450,000 to provide an opportunity for evaluation of performance prior to consideration of increased levels of funding, which we know are being requested and will continue to be requested, and to provide an opportunity for the department to work closely with the HSAs to defining what work specifically needs to be done and what the cost related thereto, in fact, is. So more than anything else, it's the need for definition of a specific work plan. And in light of the FY 80, I believe it was 81, support of the state for the HSAs being 100,000, FY 82 being 50, FY 83 and 84, there not being any support at all. It's a reversal of the posture the department and the state has taken in recent years, and is felt to be one that needs to be specifically defined with regard to the projects and support that the state is going to be funding.
In other words, this is the first time that the department in several years has endorsed funding. Is that correct, at state level?
That's correct.
Okay, thank you very much, Mr. Middleton. Are there any questions from other senators or Mr. Middleton? If not, I'll ask Wesley Terwilliger and Ketchikan to come to the
Senator,
anyway, that will help.
Senator Josephson, I believe Mr. Middleton had one more comment directed to you.
Yes, excuse me, Mr. Middleton. I didn't see you...
Well, I just do want to report what the narrative of the position paper, in essence, from the department, states, and would like to review that if it's meets your pleasure.
We have the position paper. If there's anything in it you'd like to amplify, please do so. We do have the text.
No, sir. I think I wasn't aware that you had it. As long as that's to be the case. My need is satisfied. Thank you.
I will say to our listeners who have not seen the paper, the position paper, that the position paper appears to be generally supportive, saying that the bill is consistent with the goal to maximize public input into statewide planning for health and social services. And the position paper notes that there is a great legacy of regional health planning in Alaska, much of which has been accomplished by the three HSAs working in conjunction with the State Health Planning and Development Agency.
Yes.
Thank you for that, Mr. Chairman. Now, is Wesley Terwilliger standing by in Ketchikan?
Yes.
Would you like to begin, sir?
Sure. My name is Wesley Terwilliger. I'm the director of Gateway Mental Health in Ketchikan. Our mental health center serves a large catchment area, from including Cake, Petersburg, Wrangell, the city and borough of Ketchikan, Prince of Wales Island, and Metlakatla. So that we really do have needs for input, since we cover such a large geographic area, and C-SHIP is an agency which has been able to help us in our appraisal of the needs of this rather widespread geographic area. As a relative newcomer to Alaska, I was very pleasantly surprised to find the kind of help that I could get from the C-SHIP organization. I'd like very much and emphatically to speak in support of Senate Bill 334. They've been able to keep us within the limitations of their staff, and I really think that they're tremendously understaffed. Apprised of the perceived needs of the population that we're attempting to serve, of some of the unmet needs, and also of the perception that the persons in our geographic area have of our program. They've been realistically and helpfully advisory to us in regard to new directions and unmet portions of our program that we needed to beef up. and they've been able to be informational to the communities that we serve, both in regard to what we are attempting to do and to ways in which the community could impact on us to give us additional kinds of input. They've been able to advise us of other kinds of services going to some of our outreach areas and help us to avoid duplications of services. And at the same time, they've been able to help us integrate services or help the communities integrate services across agency lines, again, to make for a more effective and efficient program. Just recently, they've been spearheading formation of a consortium of various agencies to deliver a special child abuse service to one part or catchment area. I really feel that CSHIN will be increasingly, the need for the agency will be increasingly obvious as we go into the next few years in the Ketchikan area, particularly with the advent of borax and all that that will mean for our local communities, some of which we don't know at the present time, but there'll be a very real need to keep on top of what's happening on a day-to-day basis, and I can think of no better agency to do that than CSHIN. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Is Marie Jane standing by in Petersburg?
Yes, I am here in Petersburg. I do not wish to testify at this time. Thank you.
Thank you very much for being with us, though.
At this time, I would like to go to Heather in Cordova to see if she has someone who wishes to speak at this time.
This is Heather in Cordova. No, the public health nurse hasn't showed up yet. I'm still expecting her, but no show so far. Thank you.
Okay, we'll call on you again, Heather. Galena, do you have anyone who wishes to speak at this time?
No, I don't. She's going offline.
Okay, thank you very much. Jean and Homer, do you have anyone who wishes to speak at this time?
No, Barbara, I still just have one up there. Thank you.
Thank you. Jerry and Huna, do you have anyone who wishes to speak?
Barbara.
Mabel and Randall, did you have another person who wished to speak at this time? Did Dorothy Brady wish to speak?
Yes, I am Dorothy Brady, and I am also a former member of the CHF board. I do support Senate Bill 334 and House Bill 355, but with the reservations as proposed by Barbara Mon, who is the other speaker from Wrangell. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Okay, Kathy in Yakutat, would you have your first speak at this time?
Yes, I will. Here she is. Hello? I'm Donna Watson from Yakutat, and I've been on the Health Systems Agency Board for several years, and I am a consumer on the board, and I'm on the Planning Committee. And I would like to support Senate Bill 334 because it is very important to our people in Southeast Alaska, especially in the rural areas. And the programs have helped a lot of people in Southeast Alaska, and I don't think it should be changed to any other board because then it won't be possible to keep on the Southeast Alaska Agency Board. Thank you.
One of the witnesses expressed concern, and I guess now we have another witness expressing concern about who the planning agencies would be if the bill were enacted. I might mention, Mr. Milton may correct me if I read this incorrectly, but that the position paper of the Department of Health and Social Services states that the department believes that all health system agencies should be considered as the appropriate planning agency to meet the duties outlined in Section 18.1. So I think that there isn't any intent here to destroy the existing agencies, create new ones where that is not needed. I hope that's reassuring to anyone who has that concern.
Dan Middleton here, Senator. Just to compliment your comments on it. That certainly is exactly the way the department feels.
Thank you very much, Mr. Wood.
I will now go to Thorn Bay. Here in Thorn Bay, do you have anyone there who wishes to speak?
This is Kurt Wilson, Thorn Bay. Do you read me?
Yes, Kurt.
Yes. We've been happy with the service given by CSHA to Prince of Wales Island. They're undergoing currently and recently an island-wide study of health systems and need for the island. And as far as to my knowledge, nobody else is doing this, and it's much needed. So I'm in support of their services in Bill 334.
Thank you very much for commenting. Is Leo Land on hand from Paint?
Yes. Yes, Chair and Senator Joseph and this committee. I also, if Becky Barrett is there, I agree with her comments. Some of the listeners' information, I've been very involved. Go up to 2 years ago with welfare and different things with the state recommendations. And as most of them know, I have some concerns I'll address in a second. Commissioner Smith, I'm very happy that the department took the federal government to hand in the court on the food stamps. So one of my concerns is the grants for construction and expansion of health care facilities, nursing homes, in the organization's health service area. Now, what do you mean by this? You're going to make, we'll say Southeast Alaska, just for example, a new building to take care of cripples and so forth, or if, like in Juneau, you have one up on the hill, old St. Anne's Nursing, where some of the people are there continuous. Could you answer that, please, someone?
Could you tell me what line you're looking at, what page and line you're looking at?
Oh, excuse me. It's page 3 on 19, down through 23.
Well, as I read this section, the provision would require a regional health resources organization to review and provide comments and recommendations on applications and proposals made to the Department of Health and Social Services for grants for construction and expansion of healthcare facilities and nursing homes in the organization's health service area. As I understand it, we had testimony earlier which said that some organizations would be promoting or offering cost-effective and needed services, and the existence of a regional health resources organization could provide comments and recommendations where those groups might not otherwise be able to articulate their needs. Conversely, the organization might make adverse comments where a matter of local input, it thought there might be some questions which the commissioner should consider. So I think it's a desire to bring a regional perspective to the commissioner's work in a wholly advisory capacity.
Okay, I understand that one. Now, I was kind of concerned about the money that was requested from listening, if I'm right, that the three organizations requested, or maybe it was the one, $200,000 for each agency for this year. They were cut, recommended anyway, to $150,000 each. I wonder why it was cut. You know, I haven't the data. There has to be a reason. Or is it just general cuts throughout? Because as I'm sure you're aware of, and the others listening there, one area will take more money than another area on cap transportation, everything else for the facilities to maintain it, so forth. Now realize that, like Anchorage is staying in one area, you got so many people there, that probably wouldn't be enough. And if you go up to North Pole or someplace, why, it'd probably take it all less people. I was wondering. Somebody could comment on that, please.
Well, thank you. It strikes me that you, insofar as you might be suggesting that a flat sum per region without regard to local costs and the complexity of the service to be rendered, that maybe that's something that we should review. I think that's a very helpful comment. We should do that. The Department of Health and Social Services testified through Mr. Middleton earlier this afternoon about its fiscal note, and in the fiscal note says that it has projected $450,000 a year to provide, I'm quoting, to provide an opportunity for evaluation of performance prior to consideration of increased levels of funding, which are being and will continue to be requested. I gather that the administration's position is that in supporting funding, it is reversing what was a 2 or 3 year trend in state government, and that it wants to, I'm paraphrasing, but it wants agencies to walk before they run and monitor their performance and see what additional funding should be given later. Mr. Middleton, if he had anything to add, is probably still in Juneau and can supplement my comment. That doesn't necessarily mean that the legislature will either fund as much as $450,000 or only $450,000. It represents only a proposal from the administration to the legislature.
Yes, sir, I realize that. As you know, the federal government, when they evaluate anything, cost of living and everything else for many years, I have all the data, and I'm sure you have it too, that they've generally based it on Anchorage cost of living and things like that, services. And sometimes it's Fairbanks, Anchorage, and Juneau. And when you get to outlying areas, why, it's total inept, as you know. So thank you so much, sir. Glad to be able to come here.
for your patience and your testimony.
I would like to try the Friday Craig at this time. Are they on the bridge?
Yes, this is Wendy Swearingen from Craig.
Go ahead, Wendy.
Senator Josephson, my name is Wendy Swearingen. I'm from Craig. I'm director of Craig Youth Center. I would like to speak in favor of Senate Bill 334. The Prince of Wales Island and the communities on the Prince of Wales Island need a lot of technical assistance and community planning assistance. There's several small communities, and we need a health systems agency to coordinate and to provide community planning and technical assistance. In the past, Southeast Alaskan Health Systems Agency has done an outstanding job of providing technical assistance and also coordinating the services that the different communities need. I would urge you to reinstate funding for Health Systems Agency, and therefore I support Senate Bill 334.
Thank you very much.
Wendy, is there anyone else in Craig who wishes to speak at this time?
No, we have two observers.
Thank you very much. Did Toke join us today? Heidelberg? Are there any other sites on the board that I have not called at this time?
Ma'am, this is Port Alexander. Do you pick me up?
I sure do. Would you like to testify at this time? Please state your name and go right ahead.
Thank you. Yes, this is Paul Young in Port Alexander. We've been having trouble with the phone, so I wasn't sure if I was getting through. I am a board member of Seesha. I am in Port Alexander on the southern tip of Baranoff Island, fishing community of 100. And I would very much like to support Senate Bill 334. I think that regional health planning is vital for the state. I think it's cost effective. And I know that they're probably the only spokesman for rural health needs in the state. And without these agencies and organizations, we would continue to receive very poor health organizations in Southeast and throughout the state. I'm not very good at this, so that's really all I want to say is that I very much support the Senate bill.
Thank you very much.
Is there anyone else at the side of Fort Alexander who wishes to testify at this time?
No, there isn't. Thank you.
Once again, I'll ask, is there any site online that I have not called?
Yes, Barbara, this is Rita in Glen Allen. We have not been called, and I do have a doctor, Dallas Nelson, who would like to testify.
Thank you, Doctor. It's good to hear from you. My name is Dr. Dallas Nelson. I'm a chiropractic physician in Glen Allen, and I'm in favor of Senate Bill 334. And I just had a couple comments on the regional organization. I feel that the Copper Valley Basin is a pretty good socioeconomic area bordered by, say, Eureka, Kenny Lake, Mentassa, and Paxton. For the most likely designate of the nonprofit organization, I think the Copper River Native Association would be the best because it already has a far-reaching health program. It would be the easiest to implement a health resource organization through them. It would be an ideal location to collect and analyze the health data for the Athabascan population and their health problems. And I think that we should construct a pioneer's home in Glen Allen on the grants for construction and expansion of healthcare facilities due to the fact that there are a number of elderly people in the community that have been here a long time, have really made our community kind of what it is, and I hate to see them leave because they're really one of our best resources. These pioneers' homes could be a lot smaller than the ones that have been made. I don't think they have to be as fancy.
thank you. And you touched on something interesting, which is the boundaries and designation of the organization which would be contracted with. For example, it appears to me that the bill would give the commissioner powers in this area, in Anchorage, either to enter into a contract with the borough municipal government that has health planning powers, or to recognize and designate a nonprofit corporation, or conceivably both, to have a contract for the Anchorage municipality with the municipality and a contract outside that area in South Central with the regional health planning organization. That is a lot of latitude to give to the commissioner. It seems to me perhaps someone wants to address that in your testimony or in letters to her. Let me go to Fairbanks then and ask if Carolyn Winters of Catholic Community Resources is still there.
This is Paula, the moderator in Fairbanks, and she wishes at this time to let Mr. Carnahan speak, if that would be okay, as he has a time constraint.
Very well. J.B. Carnahan is there from NARA.
J.B. Carnahan, I'm the president of NARA. I'm also a consumer. I don't want to replow on the ground, Senator, so let me just make my comments very brief. One of the major factors that the Health Systems Agency provides is a phenomenal forum that has been able to bring together both state government, federal government, military, native corporations, and other citizens at large into one common unit at the grassroots level. It's the first time that we've been able to really get in at the hometown level and attempt to plan our health system. And in my view, of course, being a consumer, that's vital. The other item that I'd like to discuss is the budget. I'm a little bit confused. NARA was directed by the state to prepare a budget. And the budget to be prepared was $250,000 per HSA. I'm the first that I'd heard that that had been moved down to $150,000 today, which is a little confusing to me. But let me just wrap it up and tell you that, of course, I am in support of the 334. And basically, because it brings the people in contact with their health system in a very meaningful kind of way.
Thank you for standing by, Mr. Carnahan, and we'll be reviewing the fiscal note when the whole committee considers this matter, and of course then again in the finance committee. I can go to Carolyn Winters now if she'd like to take the next spot.
She's approaching the mic. Passage of Senate Bill 334. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Ms. Winter. I understand that two of our Alaskan witnesses in Fairbanks have some time constraints. Is Paul Sherry there?
Yes, sir, it is Paul Sherry.
Please proceed, Mr. Sherry.
Thank you, sir. It's a pleasure to be able to speak with you this way this afternoon. I work for TANA Chiefs Conference here in Fairbanks. I've worked with them for 10 years, and part of my capacity has been as a board member of Boyd Corporation on the NARA board of directors. I've had the pleasure to be the president of that association several times. I've been involved in developing the legislation here, and I'd like to speak briefly to some of my concerns at this point in the process. We were discouraged last year to find the continuing lack of support from the state for the functions of the HSAs. We thought that the federal and state governments have both received many times over the amount of their investment in these entities, wherever you look. We've had some problems in the development of the health planning system, but many more problems have been headed off. Many more unreasonable plans have been diverted in our own local communities with this small investment of funds that we'd like to support and recommend to you that you take actions that you can to facilitate this legislation. The amount of money is a concern. We try to operate an office that is adequately staffed to provide the type of functions that the association has provided. We feel that amount of money comes out to be about $250,000 a year if we add the federal funds in. And I'd like to urge you to continue to support that total level of funding for the associations. TANA Chiefs has previously provided a resolution and documentary support for this legislation for the association, and continues to do so. We've been a party to this and have welcomed the opportunity to use this forum to meet with all the other entities, and we feel that this can't be continued unless these type of organizations continue to be supported. We are concerned about the long-term federal situation. We feel that regardless of what happens, the state of Alaska should bear this financial burden and reap the rewards. I don't really have other comments. I'd like to give time to other parties to speak. I appreciate the opportunity.
Well, thank you for standing by, and I hope we got you out to your next appointment. In that spirit, is Judith Bush here? Come here, Ben.
Yes, I am. Thank you. I'm speaking in my individual capacity today as a resident of Fairbanks and someone who's familiar with the work of NARA. I've seen both the planning they've done in the health area and also the efforts that they've lent to the Arctic Alliance, which you've heard about from previous speakers, the social services umbrella organization in Fairbanks. And also I'd like to mention the regional hearings that were conducted by the Department of Health and Social Services that recognized over and over again the need for planning in the human services area. And in this area that the Alliance has received so much support from NARA, their planning expertise has been invaluable. So I would like to urge funding for the health resources agencies for that part of their function, but also stress that this kind of regional planning is needed for all the human services and social services delivered throughout the state. Thank you.
Thank you. Let me ask if Charlie Laub of the Ketchikan Alcoholism Program is in the meeting in Ketchikan.
This is Charlie Laub. I coordinate the activities of the Ketchikan Alcoholism Program and would like to speak in behalf, in favor of Senate Bill 334. Most state plans, they tend to be fairly broad-brushed for the state as a whole. And in the past, the Southeast Alaska Health Systems Agency has localized plans and to a degree that we have not been able to find in the state plans. I think they have coordinated the local plans with those of the state, but for the most part, they've provided specific goals and objectives for each or many of the communities in Southeast Alaska. As the federal money monies have decreased, we've noticed several inabilities of the Health Systems Agency over previous years, and that they did have greater resources and were able to provide information that enabled us to better address community needs. I think this bill, hopefully with additional funds, would enable them to maintain more of these resources and bring us back to a level that we had a few years previously. And the planning efforts of the environmental impact, particularly here in Ketchikan for borax, the Health Systems Agency folks have been prime leaders in terms of getting something done, which has enabled monies from the local government to be provided to plan out better the social impacts for our local community. And I think with their continuing existence, these things will be carried on in a more effective manner in the future. And also as a planning agency that are dealing with a large number of social service agencies and health providers, they work on plans that are not covered in state plans. What I mean by that is they see many different roles of different organizations where most of the state plans are very geared towards one particular type of service, state drug plan, for example, where the local HSA plans have covered all health and social service agencies. And they have been updated in a more timely manner, which reflects changing needs. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Is there one more witness in Ketchikan?
Yes, I'm Janet Whisley.
Yes, please proceed.
I'm the director of Women in Safe Homes, the Domestic Violence Sexual Assault Program in Ketchikan. I'm also a board member of CSHA for the last 4 years. And today I would like to speak in support of Senate Bill 334, also talk about the positive experiences I've had with the health systems here in Ketchikan, especially as a volunteer. Back in about 1976, I was working on several projects, such as health education and health promotion in the community, trying to get something going for domestic violence problems in the community, and there was really no one that we could go to get technical assistance or any help in these areas. And about that time, the health systems agency did come to Ketchikan and provide a lot of technical assistance as well as encouragement, which is vitally important for volunteers who are working in these areas. None of the other people that we've gone to were able to really help us. It wasn't quite in their job description, so it was very frustrating. Since then, we have been able to accomplish quite a few projects with their assistance. Some of them are very long-range projects, so we need to have them around so we can continue to work on these problems. The other thing that I'd like to say is being on the board, I see it as a very good forum for both consumers and providers of health care to be able to meet and look at community needs and concerns in a very positive way. Otherwise, by the time people finally get to an agency with a concern, sometimes they're feeling so negative about it that it's real hard to really look at the problem objectively and discuss it in positive ways. So I see this as another way that the organization meets community needs. Each consumer goes back to their own community and talks about problems with the members of the community and can bring it back to the board and look at ways to deal with those problems. Thank you.
Thank you for standing by. I'll go back to Fairbanks now and see if Bill Wharton, Displaced Homemakers, is still there.
Yes, I'm still here. My name is Bill Wharton from Displaced Homemakers, and I've been associated with NORA locally in through Displaced Homemakers for about 3 years, and the data and technical assistance they provided, although it hasn't been as strong as direct health social health agencies, has been useful to our agency and has avoided a lot of duplication and spinning our wheels going in the wrong direction. So it's helped us develop a program, and NORA has always been available for any assistance anybody asked for. We also have a large part to do with the formation and development of Arctic Alliance, which is doing a good job now in an overview of the health and social services for North Star Borough. This is real important because it avoids a lot of duplication of services, which is a primary concern not only on the state level but on the local level. And I would urge you to support Senate Bill 334. Thank you.
Thank you, Bill. Lorraine Phillips?
Yes, Senator. I would like to testify in behalf of Senate Bill number 334. I am on the board of NARA for the last approximately 2.5 years, going from healthcare provider to healthcare consumer. I am an RN and have been since 1953. I do feel that the ability of the consumer, particularly to provide input into NARA and also obtain information from NARA about what's going on in the healthcare field, is exceptionally good for the community. As a nurse, I feel that a lot of input has been from the professional people, i.e., particularly the physicians who have their needs advanced and naturally should, but I do feel that the consumer has been rather overlooked. This health organization, I feel, here has allowed the consumer to have input, and I think it has made a cohesive group of the whole northern area that it serves. Thank you.
Thank you very much for sharing that experience. Is it Dorothy England there?
Yes, this is Dorothy England. I'm a board member of NARA, and I have been a board member of NARA from the very beginning. From the time that I first came on the board, I have watched our agency grow and evolve into a positive force in the communities of Northern Alaska. One thing that NARA has provided has been a community forum for consumers to give them an opportunity to contribute their input regarding the programs in Northern Alaska. It has also become very beneficial to the agencies when they are working on their proposals, or they make use of the data that we have available, they make use of the technical assistance. We review their grants, and they find that very beneficial to them. I have found it very gratifying sitting here today listening to the testimony from various agencies who are supporting this bill for their testimony regarding how beneficial the HSAs have been to them. That is one of the things that we have been trying to do, and it's gratifying to know that we have been succeeding in it. Obviously, I wouldn't have volunteered my time and my efforts for so many years if I didn't feel that it was worthwhile, and if I didn't feel as if we were accomplishing something. It's unfortunate that now we have finally reached the point where we are doing the kinds of things that are necessary, that people are become to depend upon us for supplying them with the data and with the technical assistance, that our funding has been cut back, and we look at the possibility of going out of business. I think that it would be a real loss, and it would be pathetic if we went out of business and then turned around in 2 or 3 years from now you try to reinstate the SHAs. So I would like to urge support of Senate Bill 334.
Thank you very much. Finally, is Sherry McWhorter at Fairbanks?
Yes. My name is Sherry McWhorter, and I'm the executive director for NARA. I'd like to reiterate what Dottie just said about the feelings that we have about all the testimony that's been presented today. I find it very encouraging. I wanted to take just a minute to refer to some things that have been going on between the HSAs and the Department of Health and Social Services regarding this bill and regarding future activities for the agencies. The three directors met in Juneau with Commissioner and some other people from the department last week, 2 weeks ago, and at that time we're discussing the kinds of things that we might work on as HSAs and with the department, with the state, through probably in some cases various departments. I believe, Senator Josephson, that you received a copy of our proposed activities list. I will send that down to you, but basically the kinds of things that are covered in there are development with a state and provider, state and appropriate provider and consumer organizations of standards and criteria for reporting, review, and evaluation of various types of human services programs, not only health services. clearinghouse functions in the areas of data collection, analysis, and dissemination, and grant application review, as we've always done. Community-based needs assessments for the full range of health and social services, including problem identification, solution definition, priority setting, implementation planning, and so forth, all at the regional level. We provide an interface and joint planning, as Mr. Carnahan mentioned, with the military, the Native Health Service, the private sector, in addition to the state. We provide assistance to the Department of Health and Social Services and other departments in the development of position papers based on direct assessments of potential impacts and implications in the local areas. We develop, or can develop, regional components of statewide plans, or through contractual arrangements, develop statewide plans for various subjects. We can provide oversight of demonstration projects, including planning, coordination, technical assistance, data collection, analysis, and program evaluation. And we can design and provide technical assistance in the implementation of program evaluation schemes within individual agencies at level. The strength of the HSAs, to me and to most of our board members certainly, and the accomplishment of all these activities lies in their non-aligned approach to planning and program evaluation process. The HSAs are viewed as neutral parties, as you've heard mentioned here today, from a number of different people. This neutral status enables us to bring together a variety of human services providers for purposes of systems analysis, program planning, and evaluation. I had not intended to talk about funding levels, but given prior testimony by the department, I feel that we must say that I've done a significant amount of analysis of our own budget and requirements for doing those activities that I just mentioned. And for NARA to accomplish those things, in addition to our $100,000 base grant from the federal government, we need a minimum of $225,000. Now, we used to have 7 staff people, which included 5 professionals. We're now down to 2 professionals. The budget projections that we have provided to the department includes billing our staff back up to 4 professionals. I don't think that the range of activities that we're engaged in, I don't think that 4 professionals is excessive for that kind of operation. So I would just submit to you, Senator, as you're working on this fiscal note, to consider raising that appropriation back up to a more appropriate level. Also, I was a little bit chagrined to hear that HSAs need to be given some time to reform so that our performance might be judged. We've been here since 1976, and I think our record speaks for itself. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will be mindful of that when we discuss this matter. One of the participants has asked about the composition of the Senate Test Committee. The members of that committee, in addition to myself, are Senator Moss, who is the author of the bill, Senator Halford of the Eagle River Chugiak area, Senator Victor Fisher of Anchorage, Senator Paul Fisher of the Kenai Peninsula, South Anchorage. Are any of the senators at the teleconference in Juneau?
Senator Josephson, none are present at this moment. Senator Moss stepped in just for a moment, as did Senator Halford, but I don't think they caught really too much of the testimony this afternoon, and none are present at this moment.
Thank you very much. Barbara Berger of Anchorage.
I had prepared a couple of comments in written testimony, but I think that they are mostly duplicates One is that currently Anchorage is a subsidiary council of the existing South Central HSA. And as such, is equivalent in status to some of the other subsidiary councils that we have who provide input to our regional body, and yet at the same time put most of their energies into focusing on the health plan and needs of their own area or community. And given the fact that we have a current memorandum of agreement between the Municipal Health Commission in Anchorage and the Board of South Central Health Planning, which outlines the relationships and details the specific delegation and responsibilities back and forth, it has been endorsed by the administration of the municipality as well as by our board, and would require substantial renegotiation in order to sever that particular existing memorandum of agreement. It's not to say that it couldn't happen and that at some point Anchorage might wish to present itself for providing health planning services under the HSA rule, but then it goes back to really recognizing the scope of duties that are outlined in the bill, which are to provide regional planning duties. And there would be some question as to whether the municipality of Anchorage would be considered a regional entity or not.
Except that the area would be a contiguous compact territory.
Correct.
Containing as nearly as practical a relatively integrated socioeconomic area. And I remember when Anchorage was a borough and is now a home of the municipality. Anchorage utilized virtually the same language to qualify as a borough on the basis of everything from equivalent to Portage was an integrated socio-economic area. I just mention that because it would seem to allow for the contention that the municipality of Anchorage is a contiguous compact of integrated socio-economic area.
You are right, and this particular bill does refer to that. You are right, as it is written. It would also be possible, though perhaps not conceivable, that the North Slope Borough might consider itself a similar entity and consider submitting itself to the commissioner as a regional health planning organization that has regional health planning duties, and as such would want to receive a similar kind of perspective. So I don't know that it would be up to the state and to the legislature as to whether they want to allow that kind of flexibility if some kind of such a growing population were to occur.
I'm not expressing an opinion on good or bad. But I think that we just should be alert that the door is open. And I think one of the purposes or theories behind the regional health organization up to now, health assistance agencies, has been to try to be outside the country, offer non-government, non-profit agencies.
Correct.
And, I guess what the committee will have to consider is whether there is value in allowing the commission to designate a borough government, or whether we should not. I have just said that it would seem to be some kind of policy issue that should be explicitly addressed. And I don't know what Senator Moss's theory is.
I would agree with you that it's an important policy issue that the committee should address. Another area of concern that I've heard raised, and a couple of folks providing testimony today did allude to it, is on page 3, section lines 19 through 23, which refer to the Regional Health Resources Organizations providing what in our jargon is called project review, where we are requested to provide a review and comment function to applicants for state funds for grants, as well as grants for construction and expansion of healthcare facilities. The directors of the HSAs have discussed this. We have discussed it with some of the healthcare providers in the community, as well as the state hospital association. is our concern that item A and item B be pursued separately. That item A is one that is generally favorably reviewed, that we have a lot of favorable support from the agencies, particularly in our smaller communities, who really do require our assistance in putting their applications together and having what they perceive as favorable hearings. Frankly, what I feel about item B is that it has, this is a mirror of a piece of legislation which was introduced last year into the House. In the intervening time, the item B has really been taken care of by last year's certificate of need legislation, and that it may not be necessary to include in this piece of legislation, except as it might be caught, it might be included at that last catch-all where we would be performing duties that the commission may otherwise request, should that be of interest to the commission, to the commissioner or state administration. So that might be an answer to some of the concerns that may have been submitted in written testimony that I know you have received and not just the oral testimony for today. Do you have a question about that?
I remember we raised the threshold which included these prospects, $2 million, right? But left the process in place for projects exceeding.
Correct.
For projects exceeding $1 million with the Regional Health Resource Organization in Section B, be redundant of the certificate of need process, or how would it participate?
It would be redundant if we are to presume that the current health systems agencies are the regional health organizations. Because the health systems agencies are those agencies outlined through the certificate of need process to provide.